Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Katie Serrell is the South Dakota Game, Fish, and Park Division Director for Parks. We're going to spend some time talking about proposed land exchanges between the state and the federal government. Katie Serrell, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you here. Let's do some background information first for context for folks. We're talking about Spearfish Canyon. We're talking about Bismarck Lake. Put it into perspective and tell me what's happened so far.
Sure. So right now, Lori, we've spent since January working on a planning effort for Little Spearfish Canyon and the Bismarck Lake areas. And the story starts probably before then, even into 2016, January, when the idea or the vision was first presented to consider a state park in the Little Spearfish Canyon area. And so fast forward now to where we're at. Since January, with that formal planning process, we've held a public meeting for Spearfish Canyon. We've also had focus group meetings, and we've had two volunteer advisory committee meetings.
And give me an idea what some of the input was from the public meeting and from the focus groups.
Absolutely. So the first public meeting held late January, many questions and concerns about a land trade, what kind of changes could happen if a state park or that area was brought into the state park system. Just a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And since then, we reached out to focus groups, and we've talked to, for example, those that use the canyon for recreation, folks that live near the canyon, and also local government officials. And the Volunteer Advisory Committee, again, is made up of stakeholders or folks that have a vested interest in what happens in that area. So we've learned that really people don't want a change there.
Did you get different information from the Volunteer Advisory Committee than you did from, say, the public meetings, or were they echoing some of the same concerns?
When we were comparing what we learned through the focus group meetings and also the volunteer advisory committee meetings, I would say that people, first and foremost, want to see pristine water quality in that canyon. When we're talking Spearfish Canyon specifically now, also understanding that the recreational use there and people wanting to visit the area is increasing, especially during that fall foliage season. And I think that wasn't new to anybody. Neither one of those topics were new. Just an echo of what we've heard probably the most.
So there's strategic planning, formal process, public input. You're learning what you learn. And what happens next?
Great question. So what we've learned, and after careful consideration, is that, like I said before, there really isn't a want or a desire for change in that area. So what we're going to do is take what we've learned. The consultant has done inventory analysis. This is specifically to Spearfish Canyon, and they've started some preliminary inventory analysis at Bismarck Lake. Get that into a document that can be shared, and then we're going to close out their contract. So, in other words, there won't be any formal meetings taking place in May. They're postponed. And really, this allows us to pause. So we're pausing those planning efforts.
What exactly is an inventory analysis? How does that work?
Good question. So what the consultant has done is they've looked at everything from the slope to the flora to the fauna to the geological elements of the area. They've overlaid all of those different maps, those inventories, and really got a good analysis of what is there. And then additionally, I should add that part of that final report will have a market analysis, so use trends, participation in certain activities, talking about visitor trends. So we're going to have something that I think will be useful not only to us, but those reports are that inventory analysis, as well as the public feedback for many stakeholders to use for planning in the future in that area.
So what happens to that document once it's prepared, and when do we expect to sort of see what the consulting firm puts together?
Sure. So actively working on that right now, and in June, early June, is our goal to have that document ready, and it will be on the website as well as presented to the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission in June. So that's our goal, and again, available for everybody to use and see.
And the website is?
The website is spearfishcanyon.sd.gov.
So in the meantime, no more meetings with stakeholders, no more focus groups, no more the volunteer committee is disbanded. All that happens simultaneously as the consulting firm wraps up their work?
Correct. And it will take probably a good month or a month and a half for them to gather all those comments and the data and everything learned together. But yes. You're right, Lori.
And how early, how long had you sort of planned or prepared to have the consultants still doing their work? How much has the situation changed since January?
So in January, we started out wanting to really explore, let's talk about the vision for the area. And we're talking about the 1,600-acre proposed state park, or you could call it in bringing that into the state park system, right? And so the conversation since then has really had a lot of questions. And so taking this pause, I think we'll let everybody take a deep breath, step back, and really look at how can we collaborate in that area. Let's move the conversation past the questions about the land trade, because the land trade, as you know, legislation would need to be reintroduced, and I can't speculate in the future if or when that's going to happen. So let's concentrate more on what we know now and how can that be value added to the conversation.
So when you talk about how we can collaborate, are there still problems that need to be solved or addressed at this point?
Sure. I think that as we look at visitation in that area, like I said again, I don't think anybody was surprised that it's growing. And looking at ways, for example, to improve the trails there. And one thing that we're working with the U.S. Forest Service, and this is just one example, is to connect from Savoy Fishing Ponds all the way to Rough Lock with a trail. And that trail would cross property owned by the state and also property owned by the U.S. Forest Service. And that's going to be a benefit for people to be able to have that connectivity from Savoy to Rough Lock. So just one example.
So let's look at that example for a moment and say then that's a collaboration between the U.S. Forest Service and the state.
Absolutely.
Is the public part of that conversation?
We asked questions about... for example, the focus group meetings. What are some areas or what are some ways that this area is used? And one thing was the trails and making sure that the trails had connectivity, but they also were lifted up out of the areas that we should be careful of for environmental stewardship reasons. So, yeah, I believe that there's been conversations about it.
Will there be conversations going forward as part of that collaboration is my question, really.
Absolutely, Lori. That's key. And it's going to take probably time to make sure that all the right people are at the table. But absolutely. And examples of that would be... success with our snowmobile program too. Just talking outside of just the canyon area for a second, take a broad step back and look at conversations with resource management in the hills in general, and those conversations happen all the time.
So where does the Bismarck Lake conversation fit into this picture? Is it the same thing, that there's an inventory analysis and that conversation is closed for now? Or is that separated from the Spearfish Canyon land deal?
Great question. So the reason the two are coupled together was because of the land trade. But as far as the actual management of the areas, they're separate. So the inventory analysis was just barely started at Bismarck Lake. So you'll see a probably lesser degree of information in that final report. But as far as looking at ways to work together to collaborate there, those conversations are ongoing and will continue.
But no conversations about exchanging the land at all?
No.
What did you learn through this process that that surprised you or that you didn't know when you first went in?
Sure. Well, so again, to go back in history for a second, I celebrated a one-year anniversary in this chair in early April. And so it's been good for me to understand the partnerships and stakeholders and put faces with names and names with faces through this process. So I guess the greatest thing that I learned is the power of relationships and really being present in the conversation face-to-face.
Right. Are there things that you wish the public had understood that you think they didn't quite grasp? Or was it more a situation of, like, this is why we had these conversations in the first place, in order to hear what people had to say?
I think that any time you have people that are passionate and really take an issue and own it, that is so good and that is so healthy. And so I think it's good that conversations take place. That's how best decisions get made. And so I'm sure the conversations will continue, and that's part of making good decisions.
All right. What comes next for you, really?
Well, what comes next is that we're going to anticipate that report looking at use trends and visitation, and that's going to help us manage the 130 acres, the Ruffalock Falls, the Spearfish Falls, and the Savoy area, do a better job at managing that. And then as far as the whole State Parks Division goes, looking forward to the summer, just starting in 2017. We have some anniversaries, 40 years, 20 years. For example, Mickelson Trail Trek is turning 20 this fall, and the registration on that filled up in a month and a half instead of 4 or 5 months, and we've got a waiting list. So just getting ready for the summer.
Katie Serrell is the South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks Division Director for Parks. Thank you so much, Katie, for your time today. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much, Lori.